There are going to be three verses that we read together tonight out of Psalm 34, verse 4, verse 17, and verse 19. So those three verses, I'll announce them again before we read each one. But at Psalm 34, we'll read verses 4, 17, and 19. So on that first verse, or on the Psalm 34, verse number 4, let's all read that one together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now in verse number 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And verse number 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
That's all I ask is don't shoot me. I want you to finish the phrase for me. Would you do that, please? You know it, but I need you to say it loudly to me. Are you ready? Lions and tigers and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Fears and troubles and afflictions. That's my sermon title tonight. Preparing this, all I could think of was the Wizard of Oz. And that's why I say, please don't shoot me. But I kept saying over and over again from these three verses, these three words, fears and troubles and afflictions. Oh my. Psalm 34 has its beginnings back in 1 Samuel 21. We will not go there tonight. I'm just giving you that as background. In 1 Samuel 21, where David was running from King Saul, who had vowed to take his life. And David was a great man of principle. He honestly was. And he would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. But you say, but wait a minute, Saul was a bad man. Yes, he was. He started out good. But he ended up being a very jealous and enraged individual. And he swore in his wrath that he would kill David. But David still would not lift his hand against him. It's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Why? Because he was the Lord's anointed. You say, but he was a bad king. How could he be the Lord's anointed? Look at that little word anointed. It simply means God's chosen one. There are those who today say, I think, an unlearned statement. They say, God chose David to be king, but the people chose Saul. That's not accurate. The Bible says very plainly that Saul was God's choice, but he was God's anointed. And of course, the chosen one to be king. But instead of fighting, David fled. He did not waste his time fighting God's people. Instead, he decided to fight God's battles. Let me say that again. David did not waste his time fighting God's people. Instead, he fought God's battles. He was in a great bit of trouble. He was facing one of the great battles of his life. And even though he was running, his head and his heart were in the right place. And from his trouble, we can learn a great deal. And that's what we do when we come to stories like this in the Bible. Rather than questioning God, which we do all too often, we learn the lessons that are found there of what God was doing and God was working. And just to make things clear, I want to define two words for you, if I may. First of all, as we've read here, the word righteous, that refers to our position in Christ. Okay? Understand that. When the Bible speaks of the righteous, it's talking about our position. When the Bible speaks of righteousness or righteousnesses in its plurality, it's speaking of our practice. So when the Word of God says righteous, that's position. When it speaks of righteousness, it speaks of our practice. Keep that in mind as we look at the following lessons from this great chapter. And if you're one who takes notes, this is all enumerated, and I'll give you that tonight. It's all enumerated. You can write down point number one. And number one is this, the righteous experience fear. The righteous experience fear. Now, what does righteous refer to? Our position. It's talking about saved people, folks that know the Lord. Whether that be the Old Testament or whether that be the New Testament, the righteous is referring to those who know the Lord. And Psalm 34 in verse 4, look what it says. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The righteous experience fear. Fear In this particular case, in this instance in the Bible, we have to understand and remember that God did not put words in the Bible just to fill space or because he had nothing else to say. The word fear that God used here is a word that is closely associated with what we would recognize as the word terror. And the Bible says here that he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his terrors, all of his fears. And certainly David, with his uncertain situation with King Saul, was filled with dread. Why? Because David would not defend himself. And if Saul did get close enough to kill him without God's protection, he would have died. He was filled with fear. And we've got to remember now, David is the human author of Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I said, well, with the Lord, you don't ever have to be afraid. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that sometimes even the righteous become afraid. Fear is no stranger even to the best Christians, and we need to understand that. It's a human thing. Well, what about the verse in the Bible that says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear? That word fear that's used there is not the word terror. The word that is used there is a word for having a phobia, where you might be afraid of a spider, or you might be afraid of maybe the wind blowing or a tornado coming through or some kind of a terrible incident on the interstate or whatever it might be. So he says here, God hath not given us the spirit of having phobias about different things in this life, but he's given us power, love, and of a sound mind. But David says here, he had terror. Why? Because a man was chasing him and wanted to take his life. So understand, number one, the righteous experience fear. Two, if you're writing things down, the righteous experience trouble. Oh, but preacher, if you get saved, all of your troubles are gone. That's not true. When you got saved, you got a new enemy in your life. Before you got saved, the devil was your friend. When you got saved, he became your enemy. And the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And so the righteous can experience trouble. The word trouble here, it's a picture word. I love it when God puts a picture phrase in the Bible that draws a picture. One picture is worth what? 1,000 words. And the word picture that God put here for us is that the word troubles describes being in dire straits. He found himself between a rock and a hard place. He found himself between the ice and a slick spot. He found himself in a narrow place and no way to turn. When I think about that, I think about the children of Israel when they were going across the Red Sea and they just come out of Egypt and they had mountains to the left and mountains to the right and they had the Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. That was a dire situation that they were in. And Moses, of course, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and they did see God come through. But David was in dire straits. He found himself that way. He was troubled, and trouble is no stranger, even to the best Christians. Oh, but pastor, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. I didn't think it was going to be this much trouble in my life. Trouble's part of the life. It's just part of life. You're not delivered from trouble as much as you are delivered in trouble. The three Hebrew children, remember them? And I'll mention them in a moment. But they were in a fiery furnace and they could not get out. They were in dire straits is what they were. He was troubled, and trouble is no stranger, even to the best Christians. Thirdly, the righteous experience afflictions. Verse 19 of Psalm 34, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And now let's back up a little bit and review. Righteous refers to what? Our position. Righteousness refers to our practice. And so we're talking here about God's people, saved people. Let me read it again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the saved. And that's a straightforward statement. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I want you to look at the little word afflictions again, because it's another one of those picture words that God wisely put into the Word of God to draw a picture for us so that we understand. Afflictions here can be seen as those things which cause harm, those things which destroy, those things which bring destruction. And that's what afflictions are here. If you want to do the same study that I have done, you're welcome to do so. But you're going to find that's exactly what the Word draws a picture of those things that cause harm and cause destruction. But many are the harms, many are the things that bring destruction to those who are saved. God made it clear. Afflictions here. In fact, it's the same word that the Bible uses. This is interesting. I think those of you who are study bugs in the Bible, it's the same word that the Bible uses for the word evil. Isn't that something? Many are the evils that come into a believer's life. You know, face to face with King Saul, David knew what it meant to see good destroyed. He saw a good man go bad. He saw the things that he didn't want to see. And he knew what affliction was, and affliction was no stranger even to the best of Christians. Hard times, evil things come into our lives. Yes, they do. Yes, and God can go through all of those things with you, and God can protect you. God can do all of those things. But affliction is no stranger to the believer. None whatsoever. And I think sometimes even saved people get the wrong idea about God. They think that because they're saved, none of these things will ever happen to them. But David made it clear. Let me read the verse again where he said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The writing of this psalm had to do with the chasing of King Saul against David. He knew what he was talking about. All too often we have been told by well-meaning friends that in times of trouble we have nothing to fear. I don't know that that's really something that somebody needs to hear, especially if they're the one going through the trial, you see. With the Lord, I suppose that's true, but with David, David had the Lord, and the Lord was with David, and David was with the Lord, and David served the Lord, and all the rest of that, but yet he experienced fear, and he experienced trouble, and he experienced affliction. And David was, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. It was not said of him while he was living. It was said of him some 600 years after he had died, but he was a man of God's own choosing. And even in fearful, troublesome, and afflicted times, David did as he was supposed to do. And what did David do when those things came upon him? I've preached a message many years ago, this is not it, that says, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. In other words, there are things that you know. And when you don't know what the next step is and you don't know what to do, you've got an arsenal of things that you already know to do if you will draw them up out of the well of your heart and of your mind. You know that they're in there. And I know, humanly speaking, it's easier said than done. But they're there, you see. That's what you have to understand. What did David do during all of this? Still in Psalm 34, we have the answer in the Bible. First of all, David sought the Lord. Psalm 34 and verse 4, he said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." Why do our prayer lists go blank after a while? Because we think the Lord's not listening. No, you don't stop. I think about things that I pray every single day, and I've often asked the Lord, I say, "Lord, are you tired of hearing this?" But apparently he's not. Because, you know, maybe he didn't come through yet, or did not come through as I thought that he should come through. But David said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." What does it say in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3? We should have even sung that tonight. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Don't stop seeking the Lord. Simply put, he returned many times to the place of prayer. He returned many times and inquired of the Lord, just like Daniel did, just like Hananiah did, just like Mishael did, just like Azariah did, and as the Lord himself did, and so should we. He sought the Lord during that great time of trouble. You know, when do you go to the hospital? You go to the hospital when you're sick. One of my friends, just recently, he was ministering in a church, and had some fluttering in his heart and had some problems and all that. Kevin Walker. And suddenly they had to take him to the hospital. And they put him through all kinds of tests. But you know what? He didn't stay there and continue preaching and playing with the boys and girls during that cowboy town that they had and all that. No, he went to the hospital because he needed some help. And he's there today and will be there for a while. What I'm saying is many people, when they go through trouble, the last thing they do is pray other than saying, God help. Or they won't go to church. I don't want to go to church. I'm too sick to go to the doctor. You know, we got all these things. If you get sick, you go to the doctor. If you get in trouble, you go to the hospital. But when we have trouble in our lives, like David described here, when he had the fears and he had the troubles and he had the afflictions, oh my! When he had all of that, the Bible says he sought the Lord. And that's what we ought to do. And the Bible examples are many. I gave you Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the Lord Jesus himself. And that's what we should do when the troubles and the trials come our way. David sought the Lord. Secondly, what did he do? Psalm 34 and verse 17, it's amazing the answers that are found in this chapter. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Secondly, he cried out to the Lord. Okay? He didn't pray silently necessarily. Got on his knees and cried out to God is what he did. He called out loud and he called out aloud to the Lord. And if it is true that we often have not because we ask not, it pertains to troublesome times as well. How many times have you gone to the Lord in your trouble and said, Lord, help me. I'm crying out to you. Lord, help me through this. Hold my hand. Give me strength. Give me stronger shoulders. Do something, but don't just sit there and cry it out to the Lord as David did. And how often do we not get the help we need simply because we do not ask? And what did James teach us? Ye have not because ye ask not. He also said to ask believing, and if we believe, we're to come to God, we're to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, like David's talking about. He sought the Lord, the Bible says. Secondly, he cried out to the Lord. But thirdly, the Bible says he trusted the Lord. Look at verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In the same psalm, David writes these words in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in Him. All God wants us to do in troublesome times mostly is just trust Him with the outcome. God knows, God is not your police dog that you sick on somebody. He is not your hitman that you send after someone. God is the one who can help you. And it says, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Trust Him for the outcome. Trust Him. People get in trouble today for their salvation because they think it's too simple just to trust Jesus. So they add baptism and church membership and righteous living and all and living for others and philanthropy and all the other things. They add all those things to salvation. And surely the Lord will let me into heaven because I am so interested in helping people. But Jesus doesn't need any help saving any of us. And it's like the man said to me in Missouri. He looked at me with tears in his eyes and he says, it can't be that simple. He found out that it was, and that dear friend, he trusted Christ as his Savior on that day. You see, David trusted God like a shelter in the time of storm. Look at the little word, if you would, there in verse 19, delivereth. The word delivered or delivereth simply means this, and you might want to remember this because it so appertains to what David was going through. It literally draws a picture of being rescued, of being rescued. The word salvation in the Bible refers to being delivered, but in David's situation here, the word draws the picture of being rescued from something from which you cannot rescue yourself. Many years ago, a fellow by the name of Vernon J. Charlesworth, he wrote a song that all of us love, and we sing it here on a regular basis. It's simply called A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And what it does is it speaks of the refuge that David sought in Psalm 34. And here are the words to that great psalm. It's in your songbook right now. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide, whatever ill, no matter what it is, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm, a shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Now, before I bring this message to a close tonight, I want to very quickly go over what I've given you to put it all in a context that you'll remember. David was being chased by King Saul. King Saul had sworn in his wrath to take David's life. In fact, he proclaimed a fast that nobody could eat till David was dead. Amazing story if you want to go back and read it in 1 Samuel chapter 21. But as we read this, we understand David is running. Now, could David have killed Saul physically? I believe that he could have. David was a skilled marksman with a sling. He was skilled with his hands. All these different things. He could have very, and at one point, he absolutely could have taken Saul's life, but chose not to. Amazing story. But what did David go through? The first thing that he did was he experienced fear. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Secondly, he experienced trouble. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Thirdly, David experienced afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And what did David do when he experienced the fears and troubles and afflictions? Number one, David sought the Lord, which is what we should do. Number two, David cried out to the Lord. Don't give up and stop praying. Keep on praying. As Lester Roloff used to sing, just keep on praying till light breaks through. Just keep on praying, He'll answer you. He cried out to the Lord. And thirdly, he trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord to deliver him, literally to rescue him from King Saul and his anger. By the way, the Lord did, when you read the rest of the story, you understand what God did for him. So in fearful, troublesome, afflicted times, what are we supposed to do? Three things. Very simple message, perhaps a message that may even be criticized by those who are of higher learning than myself. Very simple message. What should we do? Number one, seek the Lord. Number two, cry out to the Lord. And number three, trust God. That's what we're supposed to do. In our fearful times, our troublesome times, in our times of great affliction, that's what we're supposed to do. As I have said, uncertain times demand a certain faith. That's where many people are today. And David, in seeking, crying out to, and trusting in the Lord, he was literally delivered from all of his fears. He was delivered from all of his troubles, and he was delivered from all of his afflictions. That was God's promise. And I want to remind you, God wrote the Bible. David was the human instrument, but God put these words there, and that's what we're supposed to do. And so the same assurance that God gave to David is identically the same assurance that God has for every one of us, regardless of our fears and our troubles and our afflictions. Now, fill in the blank for me. Let me hear you nice and loud, okay? Lions and tigers and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Fears and troubles and afflictions. Oh, my. And the Lord is there. He really honestly is.